Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a special edition of WDOT Port Washington Radio. My name is Charlie Mark, and today I am joined by Adam Kester, a WDOT alum, a Hofstra University alum, who is currently working at WFAN in Sorrentino Media. Adam, thank you very much for being here with us today.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's really nice to be here talking to future generation of radio professionals.
Right, so there's a lot to unpack. You've had a lengthy journey so far within the world of radio and everything it entails, and I just want to start out, you know, getting into WDOT radio, getting into podcasting in general. What would you say sparked your interest in radio and everything it involves?
Well, the funny thing is, it's going to sound like a really corny answer, but because I work there. But it's WFAN, actually. When I was in high school, before like I even decided where I wanted to go to school, I think it was like freshman or sophomore year, I was listening to, I think it was either like I used to listen to like a lot of like Boomer and Carton, Joe and Evan, mm-hmm. at WFAN, and I was like, you know, those guys have a really fun job.
They get right.
to sit and talk about sports and get paid for it. I want to do that. I don't want to deal with like sciences or anything like that. That's boring. This is where it's at. This is like you get to talk about stuff that you're passionate about, and you know you get to make a living off of it. So that was kind of my inspiration for going into radio.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people who are with WDOT now have that same inspiration for joining the station. I can certainly say, speaking for myself, I've loved listening to the broadcasters and the podcasters on radio. So I think that's something that we can all kind of relate to. Talk to us a little bit about how you got involved with WDOT at Schreiber, the process of getting involved with the student radio station here in Port Washington.
Sure. Yeah. So one of my friends, who I'm still friends with, he was a member of the station, and this is like when I first started thinking about doing radio as like a major and in college. And he kind of was like, reached out to me. He's like, hey, you know, I'm doing this radio station, you know, with Mr. Clapp. You should totally join. And at the time, I think this is around junior year, cause I was taking Mr. Clapp for AP US history. So,
mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? I'll go for it. It seems like fun. You know, we have a radio station. I always pass by it, and it looks really cool, really interesting. So yeah, that's kind of what got me into WDOT.
And so you described that you had Mr. Claff for AP US History, and so talk to me a little bit about, you know, your relationship with Mr. Claff and how that also inspired you to join the student radio station, and how that relationship has guided you throughout your journey so far.
Yeah, no, it's funny. There was a point in my junior year where I literally saw Mr. Claff 6 days of it, like every single day,
mm-hmm.
of the school year, of the week, because I had four out of 6 days it was APOS history, and then the other 2 days it was radio class. So we really got to know each other pretty well, and yeah. It was really an interesting experience. He was able to really, like for APS history, he was able to really help me, like with writing and stuff like that. Because mm-hmm. like when I was in high school, I was a really terrible writer, and he was able to kind of help me out with that. And then for radio, joining the club, and then being really interested in the class, it was really cool. He was like one of my favorite teachers, because he's just so unique and different to the traditional kind of teacher.
Right, and I certainly think that anybody who has had Mr. Claff would say the same exact thing. So let's talk now a little bit about, you know, exactly what you did with WDOT. I know you had a show, so talk to us a little bit about what you did within the station, the show that you hosted, and just anything else about what you did within the station here at Schreiber.
Sure, yeah. So I did a show with one of my friends. I don't even think it's on the website anymore, unfortunately. I still have it somewhere. And I've listened to it a couple times and kind of cringed. which is a lesson that Mr. Klaff taught me. It's like, if you listen to your first episodes, you're going to want to like throw up because they're terrible. And that's just that's just what it is. Mm-hmm. So we did a sports and politics show. And because my friend who was in the radio class with me also, he was very much into politics, and I was and still into sports, and so we did like a sports and politics show, and occasionally, you know, they've combined. I'm kind of like sad that we weren't able to do it now, because it would have been so much more interesting,
right,
than in 2014 or 2015. But mm-hmm. The show was called "Take Me Out to the White House," which I did not come up with. I'll be right there. It's so good. I can't take credit for it. It wasn't my idea. It was one of my other friends. But so we had that. It was like a 20 to 30 minute show. It was one of those things. It's kind of funny because I didn't even realize we were podcasting until like later on. Mm-hmm. It was just like we were recording it and putting it on the website. And I was like, yeah, no, that's podcasting. I used to think podcasting was more just like, you know, master's distribution,
mm-hmm.
putting RSS feeds on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, SoundCloud, whatever. But really, what we were doing at WDOT was a gateway for me into podcasting.
Yeah, and so you described how you not only took AP US History, but that you also took Mr. Klaff's infamous podcasting class. To all of those listening to this show and to all of those members of WDOT, this is something we're all aware of. Can you describe or talk a little bit about any tips or any lessons that you learned in that podcasting class that you think has guided you throughout your early career so far?
Well, I already mentioned one, which was don't listen to your early stuff. Not gonna like it because although it is, I mean, yes, that is true. But also, listening to your early stuff, you can see how far you've come in however long it's been since that recording.
Right.
Other than that, it was kind of just like keep working at what you're doing. You know, trying to like find your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Especially for shows, you know, just starting out, you're trying to like find your shtick, your voice, whatever you want to, the angle that you want to do.
Right. So, yeah, and I think that's something that we learn not only in the class itself, but throughout our time at WDOT as we get more experience on the shows and in the station. So moving on now, going beyond Schreiber and moving into college, I know you went to Hofstra University. A lot of schools have student radio stations. A lot of schools have student television stations. Describe to me, Adam, why did you choose specifically Hofstra for radio?
Well, it's funny. So it was between, actually, it was between Hofstra and Oswego.
Mm-hmm.
Because they both had pretty solid radio stations. But Hofstra, I was able to do on-site admissions for Hofstra, and I was able to get a fair amount of scholarship money, but which kind of weighted into the decision. But also, mm-hmm. The radio station at Hofstra was a lot better, I feel like, than the one at Oswego, just because at that point, I mean, we still are an award-winning radio station. I think it was last year or 2 years ago that we won our second Marconi Award. So it's a huge deal working for WRHU and going to Hofstra.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also like the proximity to the city. I think if I had gone to Oswego, I wouldn't have been able to do like any of the in semester internships mm-hmm. that I did at Hofstra. Because like finding an internship in the summer, terrible, awful,
right.
Absolutely awful. It's so competitive because everybody is coming home for the summer, and they all want to work in the city or intern in the city. It's way easier to do it during the semester because A, people probably don't have the time, and B, you know, a lot of people are, you know, away at school, so you have that opportunity to, it's easier for you to get an internship.
And so you knew going into Hofstra that you wanted to be a part of WRHU, their radio station. Can you describe to me specifically how you got involved with the student radio station at Hofstra?
Sure, yeah. So I literally during orientation, I signed up for WRHU because, you know, there was like a tour through the School of Communication, and they had a bunch. And they had a guy standing out, I guess it was the station manager. He was standing outside the newsroom that they have and then handing out applications to WRHU. So while I was there, I was applying to WRHU. And then I think it was in July, they called me in for an interview. Like I interviewed with the station manager, John Mullen, and who's a great person. And that's kind of what it was. I kind of knew as soon as I got there that I wanted to be a part of RHU because I knew that I was going to be majoring in radio. Mm-hmm. And it just makes the most sense that if you're majoring in radio, you want to do some extracurricular activities to set yourself apart from everybody else.
Yeah, and the radio station at Hofstra is obviously one that is award-winning and one that's well-known. But behind the scenes, can you tell me some of the specific things that you learned that you didn't learn in Schreiber, experiences that you gained and lessons that you learned while working for this radio station at Hofstra?
Yeah, definitely learned how to work together like in a newsroom environment because I wrote some stories for Newsline, which is WRHU's like news show, learning how to run an audio board. Well, more so than at Schreiber, because I mean the board at Schreiber is good, but it's not as like technical, or there isn't as much technical expertise required as a professional quality board as like the one at Hofstra. They actually just my senior year they remodeled both of the studios, so it's probably even more interesting to learn how to do that than my freshman year. So yeah, when I went to tour, actually my jaw like dropped when I saw the board and all the screens. I was like, oh my god. It's like that thing was three times bigger than the board at WDOT. So
was it intimidating at first, or did you grow accustomed to it quickly?
I think I grew accustomed to it pretty quickly. It was the nice thing about training at WRHU was just the fact that they really kind of, I don't want to say they coddle you, but they train you rigorously. Mm-hmm. They don't just throw you to the wolf. I had to go through a semester long training club, and it was like once a week at night, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., you had to sit in a room, you had a handbook, you had to pay for, you sat in a room, and you were told, like, oh, here are the 7 dirty words you can't say on air. Here's how you do an EAS test. Here's how you log your shows, like that sort of thing. And then you got to set, and then I think twice a week you had to sit in with people doing music shows for WRHU so they can teach you how to run the board, how to play songs, that sort of thing. And then if you wanted to, like, engineer for either the sports department or the news department, then that would be, like, a different kind of training that you would do once you graduated from the training class. And then that all culminated into, like, into a huge test that you had to get a 90% on to pass.
Oh, wow.
And we had, like, a big, like, Jeopardy review game the week before. And basically, it's like they give you the answers before the test. Because they don't want you to fail. The station manager was not okay. So the program director is actually John Mullen. The station manager is always a student. So the station manager was in my Spanish class freshman year, and I was talking to him about the test. He's like, "Listen, we don't want you to fail this test. We're going to make it as easy as possible for you, but you still have to study.
Right.
We're not going to make it like super easy, but we don't want you to fail. So that is one of those things that kind of set my mind when dealing with the training class and all that.
And so you describe how during your time at WRHU, you performed a lot of services, performed a lot of duties for the station, one of which was writing for the WRHU news show. Going deeper into that, can you talk a little bit about the specific type of shows that you participated in during your time at Hofstra?
Yeah, so just sticking with WRHU, I wrote for the news show. That was really, really cool because I got to learn more about writing for broadcast, because there's only like a couple classes that teach you how to write for broadcast radio.
Cause mm-hmm.
It's not the same, obviously, as academic writing, because your sentences have to be shorter. You have to use more, plain colloquial language
right. When
you're writing for radio. So that was really, really, really good as far as honing my skills for that. And then I did a bunch of music shows, but really, I think later in my time, like I was still doing Newsline and all that, but most of my time was with Required Radio, the podcasting club.
Mm-hmm. And so you would say that through the radio station, that's where you really sort of honed your craft as an emerging radio professional.
Yes. No, definitely. Definitely.
So expanding beyond that now, the radio industry has obviously become much more competitive as the media ecosystem has evolved through the digital age. Can you talk a little bit about your experience finding internships while at Hofstra and how you came about getting some early experience in the radio industry professionally?
Yeah, it was rough to start out. I didn't get my first internship until junior year. It was second semester junior year. Not for lack of trying, because a lot of that stuff.
It's competitive. It's competitive. I hear you.
Oh yeah, no, it's super competitive. Yeah, so it was one of those things where there were a lot of internships, but a lot of them, it's weird because internships shouldn't require experience. Like, it shouldn't require you like 2 years of experience, and that's basically an entry level job, or even a level below an entry level, or a level above an entry level job. So it was hard. You kind of had to really go above and beyond just to get like an internship. And then, so my first internship was for like a podcast marketing company, which was, it was all right. It was a lot of like filling in spreadsheets, about just like ads in podcasts. It wasn't really the thing that I wanted to get into, but I was just kind of happy that I got an internship.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, sure, I'll take it, whatever. And then, but my second semester of senior year, when I got my internship at Fox News Radio, I was like, oh, wow, this is huge. This is absolutely huge.
Right.
This like goes into like one big tip, like for when you're in college, is always go to the career fairs.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if there's like a school or major specific career fair, because at Hofstra we had a School of Communications career fair, and that's where I ran into they're the internship coordinators, hiring managers for Fox News and Fox News Radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to connect with them, and I think that probably contributed more to me getting an internship with them, other than just like me applying randomly. If mm-hmm. I saw the posting on Indeed or LinkedIn or Glassdoor,
right?
Like actually going in and talking to them kind of made a difference.
Yeah, and I think that networking is certainly something that Mr. Claff and the radio station as a whole has really tried to instill in its members. I want to talk more about that Fox News Radio internship, that big break in your early career. Can you tell us a little bit about what exactly you did for Fox News Radio, what you did during your time there?
Yeah, so I basically I went in on Fridays and Saturdays, and I mean, that's one thing. That's another thing that you really got to get used to when you're working radio, is that you're going to be working weird hours. weird hours. That's probably my only complaint with work in FAN. It's a dream job, but I get home at like 2 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And like my sleep schedule can get a little messed up, especially if I'm like working intermittently or if I'm even working like constantly. That's just annoying. But that's a discussion for another time. At Fox News Radio, I was able to help them with, so they have like a Sirius XM show called Fox News Headlines 24/7. And that was, it's sort of like a 10-10 win sort of thing, but it's an hour long. And so they have like, you know, they have a bunch of stories. Some of them are just like stories that the anchors read. Some of them are stories with audio in them. And so basically, I would basically just like shadow people and learn about what responsibilities are, how to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Saturdays, when there weren't a lot of people in the office, I would help out, getting audio for the show. So like a good example is when a bunch of Democratic presidential candidates had their rallies. I think it was like Beto O'Rourke, Cory Booker, and Elizabeth Warren all had rallies at the same time on a Saturday, and they only had one person to get all the audio from that. So I was able to help them out with that, like getting cuts from the rallies, talking about whatever they wanted to talk about. And then occasionally I would write out stories, and that was another thing that really kind of helped me hone my craft as far as writing for radio is concerned, because it's a little different at WRHU, because I mean, it's a college radio station. People know how to write, of course, but it's a lot less scrutinized. But Fox News Radio, of course, is a professional radio station listened to by a ton of people, so your writing is put under a bit of a microscope.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that while it felt really like kind of deflating, to like, oh wow, I'm actually worse at this than I thought, it actually really helped out in the long run to grow from it and learn and get better.
Yeah, and obviously that's a major opportunity to improve your craft at a place like Fox News Radio. I want to ask you, you know, you said before that getting that internship, getting that big break was difficult, but can you talk to our viewers, especially those who are currently students working with WDOT, how that internship with Fox News Radio really set you up or allowed you to really further your career interests?
Yeah, it definitely did. The example that I just gave you, actually, I used the same example in my interview for WFAN when they were talking, because it's kind of the same sort of thing that I was doing there.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm doing now at WFAN, but just, you know, take out politics, swap out politics, and put in, like, Rangers highlights or,
right.
or whatever. So it's the same sort of thing. Internships are really, it's funny, internships weren't even mandatory for my degree, but really, if you wanted to achieve your goal, which should be everybody's goal, is to get a job out of college, you got to have an internship, because everybody else is going to have an internship.
Mm-hmm.
Or two. Some people, there was one girl that I went to school with that's still in school now that I worked with at WRHU. She has like two internships in the same semester.
Oh, wow.
Like, geez, how are people supposed to compete with that? I mean, they got actual robots here. Like, crazy.
Yeah.
She sleeps.
I'm sorry, go on.
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't know how she sleeps. Like, at all. She's doing two internships and working for the radio station, so.
So, you described that, moving on from Fox News Radio, you described that you used some of your experiences at Fox News Radio to help you get your job at WFAN. WFAN, working at the organization that inspired you to even start a career in the world of radio. How did it feel? I just want to know how it felt to get that job, that childhood dream of working at WFAN radio.
Well, let me tell you, it was really cool. It was funny. So I interviewed with WFAN. It was a year ago in October. November 4th was my first day. So of working there, and so I interviewed with them, and during the interview, the first thing I saw when I met up with my hiring manager, Joe Beningo, held the door open for us while we were walking in, and I was like, "Oh my God, that's Joe Beningo! Holy crap! Like, oh my God!" It's one of those things. And then even the hiring manager, who my future boss, was like, "That's pretty cool, huh?" I was like, "Yeah, it is." Like, I was, you have like butterflies. And then it was a while before I heard back from them. And then it was just like a random like Thursday. And I didn't really expect anything. And then I just got an email saying that they wanted to offer me the job. And I like literally probably yelled, like screamed. I was like, "Oh my God, I just got a job offer from WFAN." Like, I went to the interview, I was like, it's probably just like all the other interviews. It's like, you know, you interview and then maybe they get back to you, maybe they don't get back to you. But this, yeah, it was great. It was really cool. It was a really fun experience.
That's
experiencing that. Even going to work the first day, I was super nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm like, how am I going to be able to do this? What's going on? I mean, the training was really good for them. But once it kind of like set in that I was like, I'm getting paid to watch sports for a living, I'm like, this is amazing. This is absolutely crazy.
That's great. That's a really great story. And it's those intangibles, those little things that happen behind the scenes that, you know, I think really inspire all of us here at WDOT to continue pursuing our path in media and radio and in journalism as a whole. You know, we've talked about the experiences that you've gained while working at all of the media outlets that you've worked at throughout your life. Obviously, WFAN is in a league of its own. Talk to us briefly a little bit about just the scope of services that you provided for WFAN during your time there.
Sure, yeah. It's funny, I was just there yesterday getting some like previews down for... like out of the press conferences from the Jets, because as you know, they just cut Le'Veon Bell a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing that everybody was talking about. So they will, and that's like the only kind of question they were asking a bunch of players on the Jets. So basically, my job at WFAN and also at CBS Sports Radio, because we're basically in the same office and it's all owned by Entercom, the same parent company. And so it's not just the job at WFAN. I'm also working for CBS Sports Radio. And so WFAN is more local, you know, the Big Four leagues as well, and then all of the New York teams from there. And then CBS Sports Radio is more nationally focused.
Mm-hmm.
So the responsibilities for both jobs are basically the same at this point. I'm getting, you know, watching games. Well, more like listening to games, because mainly it's the radio calls that we're going after, unless we don't have the rights to the radio call, because that's kind of a thing that happens. So we can't get, so for the like the Islanders and the Rangers and the Jets, we have to get the Knicks also, we have to get the TV calls for those games, because ESPN New York owns the rights to the radio broadcast, and we can't play that on our airwaves. So that was kind of an interesting thing.
And, go on.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of an interesting thing to kind of deal with. And then, so for CBS Sports Radio, we don't really have that kind of problem. We almost never get TV calls at all. And because the rights is not, we don't really have any, like, competitors, since a lot of this stuff is nationally syndicated. So, yeah, it's basically, you know, watching, listening to games, getting highlights, getting cuts from post-game press conferences, if a big story happens. I was at work, actually, the day that Kobe Bryant passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, there was a Knicks game, the Knicks and Nets were playing, and my, and then one of the producers was like, we don't care about that game. Just get a bunch of sound of people talking about Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, sure, fine. So yeah. Basically, it's like you're getting highlights, you're getting post-game, you're getting press conferences before the game, but you're also, if something breaks, then you're getting sound about that also. Like Nick Saban had a press conference yesterday after his positive COVID-19 diagnosis, so I was able to get some grab some sound from that also. So it's kind of an all-encompassing sort of job.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't help but asking, Adam, you know, you talk about all of the services that you provided for WFAN, and in doing so, services that you provided for CBS Sports Radio. As a sports fan yourself, does it ever seem surreal when you're doing your job? Do you ever lose sight of the fact that you're actually working and just, you know, watch the games as though you're a fan? Or are you really able, do you find that you're able to distinguish between work and fun?
That depends. That depends on the team that's on. There have been many times where, especially, there have been many times where I've been watching like the Net or the Knicks, the Rangers, the Mets. I've never been in when the Jets were playing, at least at FAN anyway. But whenever I'm watching teams that I'm a fan of, I do kind of like, if there's like a goal or a really cool play, then yeah, you know, a fist pump or something like that. And people like understand that like we're all sports fans, that we all kind of like, we have our biases and
right.
Stuff happens at the office. I was at the office when the Patriots lost in the playoffs and everybody started cheering. It was amazing.
So that's obviously a good memory. At the end of the day, you guys are all working for a sports radio company, but you guys are all sports fans. So I'm assuming that provides for a very fun and exciting work environment at WFAN.
Yeah, it's kind of cool because there are a lot of like really nice discussions about what's going on. You know, some of the callers that call in to WFAN kind of give sports fans a bit of a bad name with all the crazy like hot takes and all the like the crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there was a guy that called in yesterday that wanted the Yankees to trade Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton or Gio Urshela or something. I'm just like, why? This doesn't make any sense. But most of the time, people in the office, you know, we have like civil conversations about our teams. So it's pretty cool. It's really cool.
And so, you know, shifting now from this, obviously, this happy note about your time at WFAN and the working experience at WFAN, you know, everything happens in January and February, and then bam, the pandemic and COVID-19. It's impacted all of us in so many different ways, certainly at a lot of companies, layoffs and obviously some harm done to small business. Just talk to me a little bit about, and talk to our viewers a little bit about the impact that COVID-19 has had on your radio career.
Yeah, I'm really happy that I didn't get laid off from WFAN. I don't think really too many people got laid off, if any. It was just more like our hours got cut because the hours got cut anyway, where they weren't having as many people in the newsroom or in the studio, only like the essential personnel. And then it makes a lot more sense because, I mean, if there are no games going on, then like why even have so many people in the building, people working? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make any sense. So I was able, so basically in when everything shut down, the last time that I went in before August, before I went back in, was March 14th. And then I was supposed to go in for an overnight shift the next week. And I got an email from my boss that, like, yeah, no, you're not going in at all. Your stuff is canceled. Like you're not, absolutely not. So, mm-hmm. And then at that point I basically stayed home for like 5 months and like, I did not go to work at all at WFAN. And they were pretty understanding about it. And I think, and from the other people that I've talked to now that have come back to the office, it was like that for a lot of my other coworkers also,
mm-hmm.
where they were pretty understanding about the whole situation. They're like, yeah, you can stay home. You don't have to come in if you don't think you're comfortable. Because I still live at home with my parents, and my parents, I don't want to put them at risk for anything that might happen. And mm-hmm. also with the trains and all that. So it just made the most sense for that. And then in May during the pandemic, I found a job at Sorrentino Media doing podcast editing. And that was run by a Hofstra alum, Michael Sorrentino. And this is a person that loves to hire people that went to Hofstra, mm-hmm. which is basically how I got this job, more or less. I mean, I'm still, like, I'm good at what I do, but mm-hmm. also, I mean, going to Hofstra helps. I was able to meet him at a bunch of alumni mixers. So networking, very important. And so I was able to do that. I still do that now. I started off editing podcasts for this news podcast called Just the News, where it was like a daily news podcast talking about whatever. They had interviews, multiple segments, pretty simple stuff, a lot of just like routine assembly, making it sound cohesive. And then in around June, I started working on Talking Squarely, which is a podcast from the credit card company Square. You know, they make the credit card readers for mm-hmm. small businesses. And it was just talking about how, like, small businesses were affected by the pandemic. They had a bunch of small business owners on. It was, like, a more of a roundtable discussion, which was really, really cool, really fun to edit. And that one really kind of improved a lot of my skills also, because mm-hmm. there was a lot of, like, fine editing that I had to do because it was basically four people in a room talking on this podcast, and it's a kind of like a balancing act, trying to match everybody's levels, make sure that all of the cuts are fluid. It doesn't sound like there are actually any edits in here. Making sure the music sounds good, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and so it's very interesting to hear about how you've continued to work during the pandemic with Sorrentino Media, and obviously your experiences with WFAN are dreamlike for not only myself, but I'm sure for a lot of us at WDOT. I want to talk in this final segment with you, Adam, just, you know, looking back on your time in your previous radio experience. You did WDOT in high school. You've been involved in some capacity with radio since you were in high school. What advice would you give to emerging media professionals as they navigate their career paths in this new media environment that we live in?
Yeah, I think, well, first, I mean, it's been reiterated, I think that some big advice would be just to network. Just keep networking with people. Media is, it's probably a better word I can use, but media is very incestuous.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that a lot of people move around. Sometimes you see a lot of people that work at, if you've been around for a long time, you're like, oh, do you know this? Do you know such and such from here? Like, I've been, when I was at Fox News Radio, when people told, or even when I was at WFAN, I was saying, oh, I used to work at Fox News Radio. And then people would be like, oh, do you know such and such? I was like, yeah, I guess. So it's one of those things where the landscape changes so much that people move to different companies a fair amount. There are some outliers, but it's kind of hard to see a situation where you're staying at a company for like 40 years. It just doesn't really happen that way. But as far as just when you're starting up, I mean, you got to have like a hardworking kind of attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't really expect this to be like a 9-to-5 sort of job, because it just isn't. You're going to have to, you know, sacrifice some holidays, maybe weekends, just the way it is, your sleep schedule. It's just the way it is. Because once you start out, when you first get your job, whether it be at FAN or a smaller company, especially if it's at like a bigger company like FAN or Fox News Radio, they're going to start you out working weekends or working overnights or something like that. So you kind of have to get used to it. But even just getting there to start, you really have to work super hard. And you can't just like skate on by and not do any like internships or extracurricular activities and expect to get a job out of college, because it's because the demand is, or the supply of radio people is higher than it's ever been. And for some companies, the demand is pretty low. So they kind of have a lot of, they have their pick of people. So you really, I think one thing that I would tell either my past self or just people that are a Triber right now is just try and do as much as you can outside of the classroom, as far as either joining clubs, starting clubs, doing internships, because it will help you out in the long run. It'll make you look better to other people. And also, you know, volunteer for stuff, for assignments at radio stations. Like I went to New York Comic Con in 2018, and I did a small package, an audio package about New York Comic Con, and I won like an award for it.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, it's the Press Club of Long Island Media Awards. I won like third place for that little like thing I did about Comic Con. It was like, I already bought the tickets, but I was talking to program director John Mullen about like stuff I can do to get more involved in the radio station. And I told him about my friend and I were going to go to Comic Con. He's like, why don't you just like take your phone, record some stuff, and turn it into a package? We can submit it for stuff. And you can win an award, and you can put on your resume that you're an award-winning journalist. I was like, sure, why not? So, yeah, definitely, you got to realize that you're in for a lot of work. You're constantly growing, constantly practicing, constantly getting better. Don't get complacent, and also just be prepared to work hard.
Hard work, folks. You heard it here first. Listen, Adam, thank you so much for joining us for this interview today on WDOT Port Washington Radio, the number one radio station in Port Washington, New York. My name's Charlie Mark. Have a good afternoon, folks. Thank you.